Get ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Everlasting Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. We say your name be exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm standing here as a brother to my fellow friends, trusting that your word will come to us in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to us very deeply, change our lives, and train us by yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, and we will be looking at, by the grace of God, verse 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, you could post it, please. Somebody should help us. Maybe Joseph, help us to post those scriptures. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. I'm reading from the Amplified. Can I hear your King James, please?
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to turn your Bible also to, just a minute, please. Look at the book of Peter. First Peter, I want you to see First Peter chapter 2. Let's read verse 20 and then verse 21. Yes, can you read King James for us, First Peter?
For what glory is it if when ye be perfected for your faults, ye shall take it patiently?
Okay.
But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps.
Now, that is a very serious scripture, verse 21. Amplified, for as a believer, you have been called for this purpose. Look at that. Since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his step. Following what step? In the step of suffering. Now, look at Romans, the book of Romans. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Please write it down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Can you read for me?
It is faithful, 2 Timothy 2,
11 and 12.
Verse 11 and
12. Yes.
It is faith, it is a faithful saying.
Okay.
For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Please, what are you reading?
2
Timothy
chapter 2, verse
2 verse 11 to 12, all right?
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Is that not verse 12?
Yes.
If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If you are told to interpret that scripture, how will you interpret it?
The reason we will reign with him
is because we suffer. So suffering becomes, please, I want you to pick that, write the word suffer and write the word reign in another place. and write every scripture that confirms that. All right. Okay. Please read it again.
12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Okay.
If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Now, does this look like a once saved, forever saved message? Who are they talking to here? Believers. Because it is he who have believed that can deny. Uh-huh. So, if we deny, he will deny. Some people don't look at the scriptures. They don't read their Bible to this point. All right. Are we there? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12.
Yea. And all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Those are serious statements. All right. Are you writing it down? Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. Somebody should read from the people that are, but Joseph or Bro Fortunate. Philippians 1:29. Nobody is there.
Chapter 1, verse 29. It says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Do you hear that? Thank you, brother. You see now. You see that? It says, it is given unto you, not only to what? Not only to believe. Those are scriptures that each time I read it, it touches me. Hallelujah. Now look at don't forget suffering and reigning. Now look at the book of Romans. It's a very very serious matter. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and verse 18. Yes, just read. Go on, Mohammed. What did you?
And if children.
If we are children,
then heirs.
We are heirs.
Heirs.
Inheritors. Heirs means inheritors. Yes.
Of God.
Okay.
And joint heirs with Christ.
We are joint heirs with Christ.
If so be that we suffer with him.
Yes.
That we may also glorify together.
Did you see that? According to Romans 8:17, what is the precursor to glorification? Verse 18.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time
are
not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Did you see that? So, it is a terrible mistake. It's a serious omission. It's a terrible, tearful matter for a minister of God to refuse to teach the church, for a disciple and a missionary to refuse to raise people with the understanding that suffering is part of our faith. Are you with me now? Now, it is key and very crucial for us to arm ourselves with the understanding that suffering is part of our faith and we should expect. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3.
For verily,
verily,
when we were with you,
we told you before. Many ministers of God are failing to tell. He said, "We told you before." Yes,
we told you before.
Yes,
that we should
We should suffer tribulation.
Even as it came to pass.
And ye know. So let me ask you. That statement of 1 Samuel 3:4, what do you think about that? What's the meaning of "and ye know"? It happened and ye all of you knew. What was that? We told you before that we're going to suffer tribulation, that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. What does that suggest to us? Anybody, bro, fortunate?
We told you before. Is so that when you begin to experience the tribulation, when you begin to experience the persecution, you will not say, "I was not told." So it is a mistake to omit it, because if you did not tell me what will happen to me, if it eventually happened to me, I'll be discouraged and I may back out. So people may back out of faith if we did not tell them what it takes.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. This is a direct statement from Jesus. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. Yes, bro, Mohammed.
But I will forewarn you.
I will forewarn you.
Whom ye shall fear.
Whom ye shall fear.
Fear him.
Fear him.
Which after he had killed.
Yes.
Had power to cast into hell.
Yes.
Yea, I say unto you.
Okay.
Fear him.
Now, can you start from verse 4? Luke chapter 12.
And I say unto you,
my friend,
be not afraid of them that kill the body.
So that established a killing of the body. And he was saying, don't be afraid, not because I will defend you, but don't be afraid of a killer. That's what the Bible says. Don't be afraid of a killer. Yes.
And after that,
have no more. What does that tell you? He said, do not be afraid of a killer who kills the body. And after that, Jesus seems to relegate the power of a killer to after he has taken that. That's so when you say something like, don't be afraid of him, because when he takes your biro, there's nothing else he can do. That means you are simply telling him that there's something greater than that biro he took. That is more serious. So if he takes your biro, in fact, what you have more is. So imagine how Jesus look at the way he thought on death. Are you people following me, your brother? He said, don't be afraid of this thing. It's a serious matter that God had to use to deal with my own heart several years, because we were not raised with the correct discipleship. Look at, read it again, verse 4.
And I say unto you.
I say unto you, if I even tell them, friends, oh, my friends, above me, oh, hear me.
Be not afraid of them that kill the body.
Look at that. Kill the body will include machete, burning, bombing, slicing the throat. And Jesus simply said, look at the way he treated it. He said, that's nothing. When you say don't be afraid of them, look at the reason why you should not be afraid of them. Because he gave the reason why you should not be afraid of them. What's the reason?
And after
give me another translation. Can you have another translation from your Bible? It will help us. This thing is just too serious that, you know, it's serious. What translation are you reading? NLT.
Dear friends. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you.
You see that? Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you.
They can only kill the body.
They can only. Look at this. Only. The only thing they can do. They can't do more than that. Kill the body. Yes.
They cannot do any more to you.
Now, that means if he says, look at me, my brother. If he says they cannot do any more to you, it means there is more to you than your body. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
There is more to you. The reality of the you is serious to Jesus. So when you don't raise a spiritual church, all they see is their body. Are you following me now? All they see is themselves, their body. the things they have acquired for their body, for their belly. But the real you is unkillable. You see, it takes a revelation in your spirit to see yourself as unkillable. But to see that your body can be killed. Are you with me now? The way Jesus spoke this thing is that somebody can bring pain to your body, but cannot bring pain to the real you. Message.
I'm speaking to you as dear friends. Don't be buffed into silence. Or insincerity. By the threat of religious bullies. True, they can kill you. But then what can they do?
After that?
There is nothing they can do to your soul.
Your core being. So look at the correct perspective of death. Jesus taught this publicly, yet our churches will not open this scripture. I want you to separate, are you following me now? Separate God's dealing with the nation of Israel from his dealing with the body of Christ called the church. There are some scriptures we quote and is relevant to the nation of Israel because that was the dispensation of the revelation of God at that time that is not applicable to the New Testament. The New Testament is not a nation bounded by an earthly king. The New Testament church does not operate upon set principles of laws and codes, but it's operated on by the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 2. So there is no king, there is no earthly king with an earthly constitution. Our war is not earthly. Israel fought earthly wars. The church, the body of Christ, is a spiritual house who don't fight earthly wars. Our war is basically spiritual. Even though there is a war coming called the Battle of Armageddon, which is earthly but is basically of the spirit. And that will be led by Jesus Christ himself, who is the captain. But before that event, we have been released to a dispensation of grace and the proof of our allegiance. Please listen to this. This is a dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the proof of our allegiance. That's why Jesus' message to the seven churches is, he that overcomes. Are you following me? He that overcomes. So this is a dispensation of the grace of God that brings in sinners and turns them to saints. And this is dispensation of the proof of your allegiance to the kingdom you belong. And that proof of allegiance can be tested through death. Are you following me? This is serious. Are you following what I'm talking about? Easy English. You are my friends. So I tell you this. Do not be afraid of those people that can kill your body. So does this go with, I shall not die but live to declare the works of God? You see that statement, I shall not die but live to declare the works of God, it has its own application. You can quote it, but you can't rely on it as a fact in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, your allegiance to the kingdom of Christ can be proven through death. James was killed. Are you following me? Did he live long? Now, with long life, will he satisfy me? Can be quoted within, you quote it, you should speak it. Are you following me? But you know that when it comes to the proof of your allegiance to the kingdom of Christ, one demonstration that Jesus expects you to do is what? Do not be afraid of the sword, of the bomb, of the knife, of machete. This is a serious matter. Because according to Hebrews chapter 2, what Jesus also died for is what? Hebrews 2 established that Jesus didn't just die for sins.
He died to break the bondage of the fear of death. Hope you know our message of the gospel has been hung on one leg. He died to deliver you from sin. Some people have not even started teaching deliverance from sin. They are still teaching forgiveness from sin. You see, the church is so backward. There is the forgiveness of sin. There is the deliverance from sin. There is the deliverance from self, natural man, which is deliverance from death. Fear of death, I mean. Look at Jesus Christ openly telling everybody, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. He said, nothing more. They can't do more than that. Kaya, Holy Spirit. Huh? Were we raised properly at all? Is everybody following me? Were we raised properly at all? So, let me ask you. What should be the reason why if God sends you a message to a place? Now, we're going to talk about the wisdom of preserving your body for the gospel's sake. Are you with me? Not in fear now. You are following me now? We preserving our body for the gospel's sake is not because of death. We only know that if you kill me, the operation that I needed to have on the earth will be hindered. Are you with me? So for that sake, I want to preserve, because in the New Testament, I can be killed. Very clear in scriptures. New Testament believer can be killed. That does not also say Jesus does not protect us. Now, you now find out that anytime he protects, why is he protecting? There is more assignments. Are you with me now? So, if he protects, you first of all have proven your allegiance that this death is nothing. Oh, this will help my heart, though. This is serious. But the reason why we will run away from a place, what is making us to run? Not fear of death, but the preservation of a body that was prepared unto me, oh God. That's why we don't go to some areas. Not because they will kill us. You are with me now. But before we go to that application in persecution, look at the Bible. How many scriptures have I quoted for you now? I have given you more than 5 scriptures. Clearly written that in this journey, persecution is part of our journey. If you are following me, please type a yes. It's part of our journey. Now, not all injustice is persecution. Are you with me now? But all persecution is injustice. Do you follow me to that point? Not all injustice is persecution. But all persecution is injustice. And this thing is replete all over the Old Testament. They killed the prophets. There are, from the day Adam fell, it was Cain that first killed Abel. For what? Because his offering was accepted. Are you following? So, killing of those who stand for God has been replete from the foundation of human race. It's not new. It's not strange. In fact, there was a scripture that says, why do you do as if some strange things have befallen you? Now, when we talk about our response to persecution, we will get there. We're not talking about response now. We're just dealing with persecution itself. Persecution is when you are treated unjustly for your faith in Christ. Treated unjustly because of your faith in Christ. Whether, you know, persecution varies. The ultimate of persecution is what? Death. And that's where Jesus went to pick it. So imagine somebody that is willing to die at any time. So who is a Christian? According to Jesus, a Christian is somebody who follows Jesus and is willing to die at what? Any time for his faith. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He doesn't think about it. If it is for my faith that you want to kill me, that's not a problem, because you can't do more than that. Can you imagine? Hope you know, when he says do not be afraid, that means have this, that Jesus meant that you should die how? Peacefully. Are you following me? Hi, Jesus. Jesus meant be killed peacefully. Don't even try to shake. Just peacefully. Because the real you, they cannot touch. The real you is beyond their reach. So when the church refused to raise the real us, and they are educating our brain, they are educating our mind, they are feeding our mind. No, when I say our mind, guess what I'm saying? Not that they are transforming our mind. They are just filling it with junks. We are doing fun and fun. There are some churches that God does not recognize. I'm telling you. It's you that think that they are doing something, or miracles are happening. It's you that have that kind of yardstick. God does not recognize them. Because, like Brother Fortunate said, when you refuse to tell them, they will back out from the faith. They will abandon the faith. Now, response to persecution, we'll deal with it, revenge, defense, and all of that. It has its own place, and that's when we are considering injustice. Injustice is different. It has everything to do with the citizenship of every believer in a country. We're not even talking of injustice yet, because injustice is where we talk about defense. Are you with me now? But this one is for your faith, not because of land, not because of, are you following me? No, it has nothing to do with your tribe. It's just that you are a pastor, you are a missionary, deny Christ. What's the answer? No. There's no giri giri there. And for Jesus to say, do not be afraid of those who kill your body, Jesus Christ was simply saying, forget any. I told my wife, there was a time I shared with her, the Lord brought this teaching to me. He said, do not be attached to anyone. You are only related by privilege. Let me ask you, our wives today, do we know them before? I'm asking. Do we know them before? Everybody was born differently. What was it that they call marriage? Hope you know what we call marriage was pronunciation of a word over us. You are now declared as husband and wife. That's all. That's what brought us together. So, because we are together, we live together, we sleep together, we wake together, that the togetherness has produced some results like child, like children, and many other things we did together. Even in all of that, we are not supposed to be attached. Are you following me, my brother? Don't be tired. We are not supposed to be attached. Because when you are attached to your wife or attached to your husband, when persecution comes, you will deny. You know what makes some people to, you say, what of my wife and children? Hey, if you understand that the giver of wife, husband, and children is who? God. So the day I'm faced with persecution, let him go and take care of those he gave to me. If not that Adam was wrong on the side of blame, it was making sense when you said the woman you gave to me. Hope you know that first statement is not bad. The woman you gave to me. It's not a bad statement. The only problem is that she gave me and I ate. That his first statement is not wrong. The woman you gave to me. It was a fact. Hope you know that fact was what made God to turn to the woman. Are you with me now? Uh-huh. It was that fact of Adam that made God turn to the woman. Woman, what is this that you have done? Because Adam stated a fact, the woman you gave to me. His only problem was she gave to me and I did eat. That's only the problem. In fact, if you check the punishment given to Adam, what did they punish him for? Because you listened to Annie, not because you were wrong with the woman you gave to me. So now understand that. God who gave you your wife, your children, your family, is commanding you that your allegiance is to him. So when we are discouraged by family, discouraged by problems in the family, discouraged by a senior uncle, discouraged by those things, are the things that shows we are slave of emotion and affections. God doesn't want a slave. He wants a son. Not just a slave to sin. A slave to affections and emotion. God has to be dealing with matter. Cut away your wife away from you. She is your wife by privilege. I brought her to you. There is nothing about her or your children that should ever make you to stop focusing on me. And this is the way we should raise even the children. Are you following me? That imagine you are raising children. You say, the day your daddy dies for the gospel, how are the children growing up? I'm asking. So they are growing up with the mentality of, oh, if daddy in case is killed for the gospel, he would have gone to a better place. There is another daddy that he told us we should call upon. Do you see how will funeral look like? Okay, what will funeral ceremony really look like? Apostle Paul said, why do we mourn as if we don't have hope? And it's as if we have enthroned the devil, even with our prayer point. Every power of sudden death, understand that a Christian following Jesus cannot die suddenly. See, go and read your Bible. For his life is hid in Christ. There's nothing like sudden death. There's only one death permitted in the New Testament, which is what? For your faith. Now, injustice can visit a Christian community. Are you with me now? If a Christian, that's why we want every Christian to be raised as a disciple. In the place of activating the prophetic gift, the discernment of the Spirit, Christians should know when the attack is coming. You are not with me. So that they can run. That's injustice. But for faith, you can die for that. Now, truth is that injustice too can kill you. This is the earth. But God has capacity to save you. And one of the ways God saves his own is to inform my head. Are you following me? This is very serious. So, persecution is a Bible language. So, no, the idea of the leader of the organization have died. What should happen to the rest of the people in the organization? Continue. Don't let the devil feel he's an hero because he killed James. The rest should continue. Now, we're going to be talking about the impact of prayer to stop the enemy because God listens to us when we pray. And that's what we saw in the case of Peter. But let me ask you, did Peter not eventually die for his faith? He still did when he just sleeping at that time. No. Are you following this now? So persecution, the first introduction today is what? Persecution should be expected every day. We can be going now and somebody stop your vehicle and say, are you a Christian? Yes, sir, we are. Do you understand? Yeah, we are. Diplomatically and with wisdom, we are followers of the Lord. We are not Christians. Just to, as the Lord gives you wisdom. What do you mean by that? We follow him. Which church? We don't have a church. Do you understand? Tell us, are you a follower of Jesus? Yes, we are. Come outside now, we'll slaughter you. Praise the Lord. He said, you understand? That is the demonstration Jesus expected. Let me ask you. If everybody kidnapped, because an engaged, they say, are you a Christian? Say, I am. And give us money in your church. It belongs to the Lord. It's not my money. I don't have money. It belongs to the Lord. They will kill you, I'm going to heaven. Please, if you answer every kidnapper like that, do you know? We will frustrate their business. Whether you are kidnapped or not, death is what's happening. You know? Go to the hospital. Something must kill people. If it's not sickness, if it's not COVID-19, it will be COVID-19 Delta. If it's not COVID-19 Delta, it will be tuberculosis. If it's not tuberculosis, it will be malaria. If it's not malaria, if something kills people. Are you following me now? So, understand that God also is not as if God now wants to be donating us as a sacrifice. No. That's why we'll deal with correct response later. But the first introduction this morning, who among us is still afraid to die? This is something God dealt with me. Look, to the point that I know some things I would not have done now that I'm doing. Because by the grace of God, God has taken away the fear of death. You see, let me tell you one that stood out for me. Normally when I travel, any little thing around accident scene, my heart will jump. Fear will grip me. I have escaped accident, terrible accident on some notable occasions. Terrible ones. So that's why I note Satan does not like what we are doing. That's why you can't be committing sin. Forget it. If anybody commits sin and he dies, he's going to hell. Don't mind anything. I'm not talking about, okay, somebody make a mistake. I'm talking about somebody who had grown, who deliberately went to commit sin, and you didn't confess, and you didn't even repent in your heart. You die, you are gone. There's no place for deliberate intentional sin. It's in the Bible. Aha. So I can tell you how many attempts Satan has made over my life. And I can tell you the road where it happened. But I noticed something. Before, when I near accident sin, fear will grip me, my heart will jump. But when the Lord began to teach me about this issue of your body is just a container by which I express my grace, my message, my glory. The real you is in you. And I've experienced quite something similar to that. There was a time I was in office in Ife, and I was experiencing that a part of me, the real me, was about leaving my body. It happened this year. Maybe I wanted to pray or something. That day I saw that there's truly, truly a difference between the spirit of man and his body. And I noticed a force that is as if there's something truly that binds your inner man, your real self, to your body. It's like something, it's a force that brings them together. Sincerely, it's a force. So I noticed that force, you know, like a force that wanted to leave my body. I was noticing two entities, the real part of me, conscious, another part of me on the chair. That's when I knew that. So we are really two. We are really two. So now there's one inside that they cannot touch. And they say they can't. There's not, if they like, they bomb you into pieces. They can't touch that one. By the time they bomb you into pieces, that one is unbombed. It will just come out. Now imagine, bomb cannot touch that one. Knife cannot touch that one. Dagger cannot touch that one. Machete cannot touch that one. Fire cannot touch that one. Boiling water cannot touch that one. It has to be a light within your spirit. God dealt with me so much along this line. When I travel now, I have seen serious, almost a terrible collision with my vehicle and a trailer. I was unmoved. Unmoved. I started noticing this about maybe last year more vividly. Like that, last year or last 2 years, thereabout. I was unmoved. That was when I knew something has dropped away from my life. Except God didn't ask me to go there. If he says go there, we are going there. Unless he said don't go there now, they will kill you. You know, there are occasions he told Paul, leave this place. They will not accept your testimony. And so we are preserved for the sake of what we carry. Not because we are afraid, hey, when they not kill me, they meet it on. No. Are you with me now? And all disciples you are raising is part of their curriculum. That's why we're going to close this. Woe betides you. We want to raise a generation of multiplying generation of believers who will be raised as Christ and multiplying disciples, who will be sent to do the task of missions in Nigeria and beyond at whatever cost, at the cost of their lives also. Fulani killing is not new. There was a time it was Boko Haram. Now it's Fulani. Can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth? If Fulani stop today, another people will rise. They will call themselves another name. We will not say Boko Haram. In fact, Fulani may later be our friend. Somebody else will rise. Because they that must live godly shall suffer persecution. So all our big, big churches, what are they doing there? When you prophesy over people all the time for physical things, glory, I have not seen a church convention that have on it being ready to die. And it's a church convention team being ready to die. May God take us there. where church convention team will be being ready for persecution. Persecution, a pathway to glorification. Have you ever seen any church team like that? Have you met one? I've been in Christ now for over 20 years. It was only one church. One church. And it was Equa. Equa. All my life, I've never seen any, either Equa or EYN or cooking. And guess who was their guest minister? Bro Billy. They were the ones that discussed the theme of their conference or convention that year was around persecution. What happened to all our churches in the South? Not my head, not my blood. I cannot suffer. Glory for the next level. It's wrong. I'm not saying we can't have such teams. Are you with me now? But it has to be included. It's an all-inclusive understanding. Imagine primary school students knowing that they can die for their faith. How will a mother feel if he's raised this way? When my mother came to visit, I had to sit him down. I sat her down to teach her about persecution. My mother just looked at me and said, we are not taught this thing. I said, heaven is more real. If I go, this one you'll be crying as if your life has not finished because I'll be in a better place. See, I have to remind myself, because let me be honest with you. If you are a mission agency, if truly we're a mission agency, our work is progressing. No, I'm telling you. We will never stop reaching out secondary schools. Hope you know for some secondary school that we're going to rescue, we will face persecution. Eh? For some secondary, I'm not even talking about Muslims here. Even some fathers, they may have to come and beat us because we're missionary evangelists, rescuing lives. If you rescue a witch, a student that is a witch, hope you know the covens of darkness will rise against you. Some of them may come physically. Are you ready for such thing? We're not talking about spiritual battle here. We're talking about physical. They will come to say they're going to beat you up today because of your message. So, it should be expected. Look at the way the three Hebrew boys responded. They were, it was part of the understanding of a Jew that you can be killed for your faith. It's part of us. Now, I say this very openly. If they kill your wife for the sake of the gospel, continue with your life. If God leads you to another wife, marry and move on. If they kill your husband for this gospel's sake, he has gone to a more better place than you. If God gives you space and he gives you permission, marry another husband and what? Continue. If they kill all your children for the gospel's sake, if God gives grace that your new wife will give birth to children, let him give birth. No birth, die without children. Don't let anything be attached to you. My wife today is by privilege. I cherish her with all my heart, but she does not come between me and my allegiance with Jesus. My children are loved very deeply. I miss them when I travel, but none of them come in between me and my allegiance to Jesus. And that's the way I want to raise my daughters. They must be raised with the mentality of an heavenly father. And that I am just the representative of that heavenly father. I am nothing than a custodian. My daughters must catch that. My children must catch that. If they miss that, that means they will suffer. Imagine this. If every church has this teaching, will there be revival or not? There will be. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, help me to be ready to suffer persecution. See, I want to say something. Before you go, is everybody following me? Type yes if you are following me. I need to describe something for you. Is it only Joseph that's on here? All right. I'm going to send those materials now. I want you to read it. And I came to a point and I just discovered that who raised us? Who raised us like chickens and vegetables? A suicide bomber will carry bomb. Please, what do they use to mobilize a killer? Be honest if you know Islamic theology. If you kill, you go to Ajana. That's the motivation. What's our own motivation too? He that must reign with Christ shall what? So, you see, in order for you to die and be willing to die, you must be motivated by a greater factor. You are not with me. There has to be something beyond the earth that can mobilize your heart. Jesus also died on the cross because of what? The joy that was set before him. So, but instead of the church placing that joy before us, joy of after this life, which joy did they place before us? Joy of children. Joy of a car. Okay, what happens if I trek all my life and I don't have car? What happens? I will now, my prayer, can you imagine that? All the missionaries who brought us gospel, how many of them built mansion? Didn't I take you, Joseph, and then the rest of the disciples to the graveyard of missionaries in Badagry? What mansion was written against their name? Let's understand the way heaven is. And I personally feel God will call many of our ministers to question. Now look at this. There was a missionary wife. I read the story. The jihadist came, met her in the house, and the husband was away. They beat her to stupor. She was raped. That's the wife of a servant of God by jihadists. Bottles were broke. Her head was broken several times that the skull broke. Her chins and legs were broken. Hear me, please. Hear this. I'm going somewhere. And she was assaulted and tortured. I'm trying to paint it because when it comes to persecution, let's paint it. Such that metals were inserted into her as a woman to her private part. Metals. It was really low. It happened in Nigeria. And after that, they tortured her with it very terribly. And as if that was not enough, the bottles they used to hit her on her head several times was now inserted into her. She was torn into pieces. Terribly. She bled and bled. Listen, this is the part that shocked me. After they did all that, blood was flowing. They started now told her, stand up. Naked. They said she should stand up. And that she should go and carry the juice of her husband. This is a missionary known. They carry basket on her head. Humiliation. They put drinks, juices on her head and told her to be carrying it about. About 30 people came to the house. That she should lead them now to the office of her husband. What shocked me in that story was that somebody that had been broken, she still stood up. As she was going, they were beating and breaking down bottles on her head. At the time, she said she was not feeling any pain anymore. Blood was coming, but there was something that was beyond. After some time, she would fall, she would rise again. In fact, it was so terrible that one of the jihadists had mercy. In fact, one of the jihadists said, mother. The jihadist said, mother, please rise. The other people were still ranting. One of them, maybe that suffering greeted him in the face and was like, Hear this. She spent 9 months because she was torn to pieces. She spent 9 months in the hospital for recovery. Hear this. After she recovered, the things she's not supposed to do. See, I told myself, not now, I said, if I'm the missionary, I will leave that place. If they want to die, let them die. She still, you know what she told her husband? After she recovered, in fact, she said she was crying. As she was shouting, Jesus, why the torture was going on, they would be breaking the bottle on her head. That she should stop shouting that Jesus. As she marched out with the orange juice on her head, he said the breeze that came outside, because they led her outside to their compound, he said the breeze was like the Spirit of God blew on her. The strength just came. Who told you in persecution, Jesus abandons his own? The part that shocked me, the husband was boiling with anger. In fact, the husband was ready to kill the police because the police came immediately after those people left. So some of the police now came to her. In fact, a man of God, he ran to the kitchen to go and take knife. He was going to stab the policeman because of what they did to his wife. He said, where were they? Later he repented. The part that shocked me was that on one of these days, the woman recovered miraculously. Hear this. The woman one day just said to her husband that she has burden from one of the jihadists, especially the one that says mother, because the person was a young boy. The husband said, I said, what? What kind of heart do you have to pray for your persecutors? That is beyond natural strength. Now, every tear she has has been restored. Every head that was smattered with bottles was joined back by the help of heaven. She did not lose any of her brain. She did not lose. In fact, it was so terrible, but God restored. Let me let you know something. There are those who have paid serious price than we. Is it we that should not be prepared to go extra length? Hear me as I close. We can't say we're a mission agency and you delete persecution from your understanding. Those of you that have children, break your attachment with children. Look at the scripture we read, what did Paul say? Paul said, we told you before that persecution, we will face tribulation. He said, it has now come and ye know. Is that not what you read in your Bible? And ye know. So those of you that have children, break your attachment to children. Raise them in the way of the Lord. Those of us that have wives, break your attachment from your wife. Love them, serve them as fellow heirs in Christ. Those of you that have husband, break your attachment. Keep your relationship, but break your attachment. Attachment is that emotional connection that can make you deny Christ. But your relationship should be within the context of the help of the Spirit. Such that if your wife is taken away, you shout for joy. People will say, are you mad? They say, yes, because Jesus told us she has gone to a better place. My child, it's we that see the body. Jesus clearly said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. That means Jesus Christ was simply saying, there's something bigger than the body. And Jesus was simply saying, I could take away pain from your body. Why they kill your body? That's the meaning. Because when he said he has swallowed death in victory, he was simply saying, everything that death has as fear, which includes pain, I have taken it. If God did not show us that, how is Stephen dying and he's praying? Pain is not involved. Are you following me? Pain is not involved. They were stoning the body, but he was praying. Something else has taken over. Something has taken over, brethren. Real pain. Real pain. You can't pray. You can't have real pain and be praying. It takes a supernatural force from heaven. It means that the real you has to come out. If we are taught this, it becomes our understanding. God keeps telling me, sometimes, amen, God may choose to preserve our lives, but we must live every day as dead people. That's what God told me. God said, if I preserve you, you still must not remove the fact that you live every day as a vampire. Because until you are dead, a living dead. One man of God said, if we speak the truth, we will die. If we don't, we are already dead also. So why not die courageously? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I receive grace. Not to fear death. Oh,